Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talk to Steve Petrick, who is the chair of the Transit Action Alliance of Guelph, or TAG, if you will. Now, we normally do a quarterly discussion of transit matters with a couple of our friends from TAG, but there's been a lot going on lately, and it's been really hard to get friends together like we usually do. In the last week, though, we've seen local governments turn the pressure up on the provincial and federal governments to get emergency funding for transit systems, and advocacy groups like TAG are joining those pressure campaigns. So, having said that, it's time for another edition of the Transit Pass, even though these days you don't need one to board the bus. Transit issues during the pandemic is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Now, when was the last time you were on the bus? Thousands of people take Guelph Transit every month, especially when school's in session, and while Transit hasn't released any official numbers, most transit systems are reporting a loss in ridership of 90% or more. Almost all transit systems have cut their schedules or rolled back service, and Greyhound has even ceased service until they can be assured that bus service will be financially viable again. Greyhound, of course, is a private company, but most transit services are run by local governments, and in the wake of the pandemic, they have been deemed essential so that people can still get to work or the grocery store. It's a perfect storm. Cities have to run a transit service at some capacity, but many of them depend in part on the revenue from the fare box in order to cover the cost. Some transit systems, like Guelph Transit, have made the service free as a way to encourage social distancing so that no one's exchanging cash or transfers and so that no one's coming in close contact with the drivers. But that means there's currently no revenue being collected at all. This has been going on for over 2 months now, which is why groups like the Federation of Canadian Municipalities and the Large Urban Mayors Caucus of Ontario are pushing for millions of dollars in emergency federal funds for transit specifically. Meanwhile, we have some services like Grand River Transit in Waterloo Region who will be charging fares again starting June 1st. It's a conundrum. So let's see what our friends from TAG might have to say about it. So this week on the Guelph Politicast, we will talk to Steve Petrick about what it's like to take the bus these days and how transit is managing the health and safety of both passengers and operators during the pandemic. We will also talk about the current financial needs of transit, how TAG is joining the campaign to push for more emergency funds, and what role TAG serves in promoting transit while everyone's in lockdown. And finally, we will talk about the future of transit, what transit service will look like as the economy opens up, and how the pandemic can promote new radical approaches to the way we plan and fund transit. So I caught up with Steve Petrick via Skype last week from his home in Guelph. Steve Petrick, thank you for joining me today.
No problem.
First of all, for those who've enjoyed the transit passes of the past and, you know, maybe look forward to the quarterly discussion of, the back and forth of transit dedicated people talking about taking the bus in town. How are you doing? How are you feeling? How are you coping? All that stuff.
Well, we had a lot of plans as a group and, everything kind of went sideways, which we're fine with. Mm-hmm. We understand the situation is definitely fluid. Mm-hmm. So we're just kind of going with the flow right now, but there's a lot,
yeah,
a lot to unpack. Especially with transit.
Yeah, I just meant personally too, you know.
Yeah. Well, I was off. I ended up hurting my foot.
Right.
At the end of March, so I ended up getting a ride from my brother, mm-hmm. put him in my little bubble, mm-hmm. For about 5 weeks. So I was kind of an observer from the outside, watching buses go by and kind of, you know, keeping an eye on it that way. And then the last couple of weeks I've been riding it every morning just to get back into that. So it's different.
Yeah.
I must say.
Yeah. I've not been on the bus since, I guess the state of emergency started, not the Guelph state of emergency, but you know, the Ontario one. Around the St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Yep.
And but I have been outside, and of course I see the bus go by. If you know you're walking around along one of the routes, and it is a very different appearance, because you can, as it rolls by, you can see the drivers usually in mask and gloves. Actually, come to think of it, I have not seen a driver not in the mask and gloves, so I don't want to imply that there are drivers not observing PPE. But there's plastic up in the buses. There are seats that are sort of taped off. You know, being someone who has taken the bus and not just observed the bus drive by, can you describe what taking the bus is like now?
Well, it's very eerie. it's really weird when you get on and you got 10 people and they're all spread out, and then there's like an 11th or 12th person and they can't get on the bus and they got to wait. And it's a whole really different scenario going on. It's hard to really comprehend it. It's like we're in this weird world.
Yeah.
I'm just not used to yet. But riding it, I mean, people, there's still a bit of demand on certain routes, like the 99. Mm. And that's where there's been some issues. But I do note that Go Transit has addressed some of that by putting some extras out on some of the busier routes at certain times.
Right.
So that's helped keep the social distancing going. But obviously it's basically a seat of our pants right now, I guess, with transit.
The 99 in particular, because people are used to that on at least on the weekdays every 10 minutes, but the buses have been running on weekend schedules, which means every half an hour, at least every half an hour, of the northbound portion between the university and the
downtown
Smart Center.
And
yeah,
Walmart.
That's right.
Yeah,
so
whereas downtown to the university and South End is 15 minutes, so it's, there seems to be enough service in the South End for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
At the North End, I'm finding when I took the bus, hey, we got full pretty quick with the 10 passengers. So that's an area I think that probably needs some addressing as we go along.
Well, you're thinking about, there's a lot of essential businesses along there, especially when you sort of get into the range of the Smart Center, right? Because the Walmart's still open, the restaurants along there are still open because they're delivering. I think there's even like maybe a couple of other stores that are, you know, quote unquote essential. Of course, you know, we have businesses that are now allowed to have curbside pickup, and there are a lot of plazas in that area too, where they have what would be considered a street level entrance. So there's people getting back to work then and there as well. So you would think that this is going to be a more of a strain on buses, at least on particular routes that heavily service those commercial areas.
Yeah. And the 17 and 18 connect there as well. So you're seeing a lot of people going from home to the 99 to get to work or vice versa. There's some senior residences nearby there as well, along the 99, Norfolk, for example.
Mm-hmm.
This one on Woodlawn, I believe. So there's essential services everywhere near all these routes. every Tim Hortons you can think of.
Nothing more essential than that.
In that, yeah.
How about people on the bus? Are people doing PPE, like do you wear a mask when you're on the bus? Wear mask, gloves, all that? You as a passenger?
Well, I wear a mask. Mm. And I've seen other people wear masks, some medical, some cloth. A lot of people don't wear masks, I've noticed. Every bus has got a dispenser on the end of the back doors now, so you can clean your hands when you get on and off the bus. So, I mean, gloves are really useless, as everybody knows. It just helps spread everything. So otherwise, yeah, that seems to be a mixed bag of everything. I've noticed other transit systems are kind of trying to get people to wear masks to really help protect, especially drivers.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing, you noticed too, is I haven't seen any Guelph transit drivers with any PPE. I don't know why. I don't know if there's an issue of getting it, or what the story is behind that, but I know other transit systems like GRT and TTC are working really hard to get that out there, putting up protective barriers at the drivers where they sit, you know, getting them the gloves and the masks. So that might be an area that needs to be addressed as well.
So you're seeing drivers without PPE?
Pretty much. I've seen drivers gather around talking to each other at Guelph Central Station. So.
Because I mean, I have seen drivers wearing masks and gloves as they drive past. I wonder if this has maybe been left up to the individual drivers to maybe secure their own
possible.
PPE. Yeah,
it's possible. I know other trans systems are trying to be a little more, you know, proactive. I guess the unions are also putting pressure on them. So every system seems to be a little different, but I would hope that they would want to wear masks and other protective gear as well.
Have you had the opportunity to, because I know you and the other TAG members do engage a lot with transit employees, and, you know, the city managers as well, the transit general manager, Robin Gurris. Have you been talking to them at all during the pandemic?
I've only been able to talk to a couple of drivers in the early days, just to kind of get an idea of where things were sitting. So with the reduced service, a lot of people would think, well, they're laying off drivers, but that's not true. Instead, they're reassigned to help clean buses. Which is, in the early days, Guelph Transit was saying that it was fine with their regular cleaning, and that was kind of like a, you know, everybody else seems to be increasing their cleaning, but why isn't Guelph doing that?
Right.
So that's about all I know. I haven't had a chance to connect with any of Guelph Transit management. I've been busy with my own work transition in my end in the middle of this pandemic, so I've been kind of focused on that. But I hope in the down the road I can. I know I've heard from the mayor about our letter to the prime minister and the premier and the ministers of transportation for about funding and that. So we do have some our fingers are we are being heard at City Hall. They really appreciate us, you know, pushing this along because they also are doing it at the same time.
Well, let's talk about the letter, and this is part of a national campaign by a lot of, you know, transit user alliances like yours, that like TAG, trying to promote, and this is coming from a lot of different places like LUMCO and FCM and all those different municipal organizations to try and get, you know, bailout money basically for cities, with particular emphasis for transit systems, which, you know, most of them are running free at the moment with no revenue coming in.
Yeah, there's now about 60 groups that have gone on that letter, from the CUTA, which is the Canadian Urban Transit Association, to the Federation of Canadian Municipalities, to the ATUs. So, I mean, it's surprising the response the Prime Minister initially gave, that it was a provincial municipal matter. And the provinces are, you know, saying, hey, we need some help. You know, we can't just do this alone. So there was it's a bit of a chicken
and the egg
right now. You know, I think they're trying to see who's going to blink first for this. But I'm seeing that they're kind of warming up to it. And you know, even today, the Prime Minister acknowledged how important it is. It's an essential service. And it needs to get support because we can't be running this service as is right now with no revenue coming in forever. Otherwise, you know, we're going to see big cuts, possibly even the closure of a transit system. I mean, what Windsor did in the early days was kind of like, I don't know why they thought they should do it that way, but it wasn't a good idea, and they did get blowback for that. So,
well, talk about what happened in Windsor in case people don't know.
Windsor in the early days decided to just shut down the entire system.
Right.
So with no alternatives, and left a lot of essential workers trying to find ways to get to work, and other people still had to go to work. So it went on for a few weeks before they finally restored it. So I don't want to get to that level because it will be hard for a lot of people to get to shopping and to get to their jobs. But we do need some service and we do need some support from our federal and provincial governments because, you know, it's the revenue that with no revenue coming in, you know, the city can only go so far before it's going to say, well, hey, you know, we can't do this forever. We're going to have to cut something.
Right. And there was news this evening. We're taping this on Wednesday, May 13th. So this is, you know, the news from news today. It won't be news when this podcast comes out, but that the region of Waterloo is already looking at how it's going to collect revenue after. I believe they are have free transit till the end of June, like Guelph. But they've already, the regional council's already started looking at how to start collecting fares again. And it seems like it's going to be through a pass system, like how Guelph, you know, started with a reusable transit card earlier this year. They have one of those in Waterloo region. And it's just going to be that, and but no cash collections.
You know, that's one solution. I did when we were rolling out the new card system here in Guelph. We had asked about, you know, all door boarding, putting a, you know, a card reader at the back of the bus, because that's what they do in Toronto. And you know, it's surprisingly, it would be a good idea after all to get those fares. There's also obviously if you put protective equipment for the drivers at the front, like a screen, then people can come in through the front again and pay fares too. So, but obviously, I mean, the current model, it's broken. I mean, with, you know, operating revenues have been decimated as ridership has been diminished. So, you know, it's a broken model.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be tricky because as you said, we're going to be painted into a position where, like, do municipalities cut service or do they just take, you know, the idea that transit is going to be a lost leader for the time building. Maybe they try to make up that revenue elsewhere, or does the higher levels of government come through? Because here in Ontario, at least, we have our provincial government that funds its own transit system as well, Metrolinx.
Yeah.
So that makes it kind of even harder to say, okay, now province of Ontario, you're not only going to fund this province-wide, or I guess southern Ontario-wide transit system, that you do GO trains, GO buses, but now you're going to have to pick up the share of each individual municipality. And that's something like over 150 different transit systems in Ontario, I want to say.
Yeah, something like that. There's a lot, big, small, and medium.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, maybe we should be funding our transit system the same way we fund other transportation infrastructure from the general tax base.
Right.
Maybe we supplement it with other policy-driven revenue streams like congestion pricing or parking fees or something like that. You know, we do need a new model for this because the current model is just, it's not going to be able to continue after years of downloading by provincial governments, you know, to municipalities, and municipalities are reliant on user fees. So
right.
You know.
And it's not
this is what's causing the collapse of a lot of municipal delivered services is because of that user fees disappearing.
Right. And it's not just that in like the Guelph case too, but I think one of the things that has to come up in conversation at some point is what happens if the U of G doesn't come back in the fall.
Yeah. That is the big question mark. I have heard from somebody who is going to the University in Ottawa. And they've went through a whole bunch of different scenarios and they're leaning on doing it online. So, I have my suspicions that we probably won't see students back in September.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the unknown of the second wave, which could easily spark up pretty quick. So yeah, we're in this really weird, kind of like we can't really plan too far ahead, and it's hard to really predict if this is going to be the right choice or the wrong choice until we get closer to the date.
Right. And I imagine in particular your job and the job of TAG, this has especially blown up your work, because the goal of TAG was always to try and get more people onto the bus. And that's going to be a hard sell for a while.
This is true. There will be, in this new world that we're going to come out of, there's going to be people that will probably work from home permanently.
Mm-hmm.
There will be some people that will be afraid to get back on a bus for a while until there's a vaccine. You know, there's going to be people that have no choice but to use transit. So, you know, they may want to use a mask all the time. So there might be the city may have to say, hey, you have to wear a mask while riding transit. At the same time, if social distancing is still in place, you know, we need frequency.
Right.
So obviously we need to be rethinking our entire transit network to where people are going to need to go the most.
Right.
So the current network is already strained. We all know that. It's not really well designed. There's good parts to it, but it really needs a good overhaul. So this is kind of maybe a good opportunity to say, you know, we need to rethink our transit system to the new reality. Mm. Is, you know, putting transit where people are, which is something our group has always said. But, you know, now we have to kind of refocus it a little and rethink it. There's opportunities possibly for on-demand transit, you know, to fill in the gaps in some of the lower routes, like Route 3 westbound.
Right.
So, you know, it's just, we just need to pivot the discussion, I guess.
Right, because, and I was thinking about this in preparing for an interview, is that another part of the TAG mission was, of course, to get more funding and investment in transit, and that would be a hard sell in sort of the immediate aftermath of this, where, you know, you don't have as many people riding the bus for a while. But the way you phrased that just now, it's like a lot of the other things that, the radical things that, you know, you could try and that there would be typical resistance to because people hate change, now would kind of be the time to do that, because people have no force but to deal, or no choice but to deal with change.
Yeah, and it's a good opportunity because the regular ways of doing things are not going to be the same. So it's a fresh start.
Yeah.
You know, Jared Walker mentioned that in a tweet, is like, this is a good opportunity to really rethink your transit system and transit network and you know, change it to what's happening now and down the road. Because things will come back, hopefully, to some degree. It may not be the same ridership numbers as the past, but there is still potential. It's still a part of the climate change and addressing climate change, and you know, it's still an economic driver. It's still a very important part of the piece of the puzzle. So it's just getting it, you know, where we need it. It's going to take some time. At the same time, you know, we don't know when this is going to end.
Right. I was kind of going to save this last question for the end, but not that we're at the end at the moment, but I was just thinking about this as you're talking. Will we get back to normal, or will this be like a matter of dealing with the new normal? And I think that's going to be the big choice for in terms of how the municipality recovers and how all of us recover is, you know, it's not going to be, you know, at the end of July or something, and we're just all going to go to the bus stop and get on, and it's going to be the regular schedule and everything's going to be normal again. That, we kind of need to wash ourselves of that idea that there's no going back to normal.
Yeah, that is true. I think, like I said, there's people that are probably going to work from home from now on. I mean, I heard Twitter is going to have people permanently working from home.
Mm.
So, you know, there's a lot of change coming in how we do things. Heck, who knows what will happen with schools? I mean, if online schooling picks up in popularity, which I've heard it already has this summer, I mean, maybe that will be a big change in how that goes. You know, will people want to go to university or college, you know, in person, or they'd rather do it online?
Right.
So it's a whole new world coming in front of us. We just need to kind of figure it out, feel it out, and kind of come up with a game plan that we think will work, obviously, and just adjust it as we go. Because that's basically what we've been doing for the last, about 6 weeks now?
Yeah. What do you think Tag's role is going to be? You know, as you know, maybe the immediacy of the crisis eases off, you know, what's the sort of long-term role of, like, transit advocacy groups like yours going to be in sort of the immediate future, like, just in the months to come as we kind of figure out how we're changing and what we're going to change into?
It's definitely an open page in our group. We haven't really had a chance to really nail it down because everything is such a moving target right now. Mm. It's really hard to figure out where we might pivot to. We know we definitely want to make sure that we have stabilized the transit system, so make sure we get that funding from the federal and provincial governments,
mm-hmm.
Emergency funding, and make sure that there's still service for people, and that it's frequent enough and that we're social distancing and all that stuff. But in terms of where we come in the recovery, it's going to be making sure that service is restored to address the growing population, to address, you know, business. And, you know, we still have a role to play in making sure we get a good, efficient transit system out of this crisis and, you know, into the new normal and then from there, because who knows what it will be like in 10 years from now.
Right.
You know, we may have a better more people using transit still. But obviously it's going to take some time to discuss it and kind of figure out where things are landing as we go.
Right. Do you wonder if maybe there might be a positive to come out of it too, that, you know, there are a lot of different areas where people are looking at, you know, people didn't, you know, want to engage in, you know, being out and about and things like that. And, you know, now that people have sort of spent so much time on lockdown, so much time to themselves, that, you know, maybe getting out and getting on a bus, you know, maybe not in an uncomfortable way, like how people are packed like sardines at rush hour on the Toronto subway. But, you know, I guess the kind of mutual camaraderie of, you know, getting on transit and that kind of, I guess, group benefit, you know, I wonder if this experience sort of makes us more open to that possibility and understanding the need to share more and being a bit more open to share and being more, more present with our fellow human beings, I guess, is what I'm thinking.
I totally agree.
Right.
There's a lot of potential for that. You know, we have been with less people going and driving, and that you've noticed the air quality has improved.
Mm.
So I think it would be a good sign that, you know, maybe we should use transit more, you know, to keep that clean air. People that will work from home permanently, maybe you don't need that second car anymore. Maybe you can use transit to do your shopping or casual things, to go see friends or whatever. So there's a lot of potential and positives that could come out of this,
right?
When we get there, hopefully, and sooner the better.
No, I hear you. I have come to one of the things I've been exploring with the podcast is just, you know, there's been a lot of things we've had to deal with the crisis. You know, paying our you know, people who work at grocery stores and other shops, paying them, you know, a decent wage, the systemic issues at long-term care homes, air pollution, you know, things that we kind of ignore on a daily basis. And I feel like that is, there's kind of a reckoning here, that there's a silver lining to all this. By all means, the pandemic is terrible, but I wonder if, you know, there's also opportunity here to sort of get people to start thinking about things in new ways as well. And I think that's, I don't want to say that's the exciting part of the pandemic, but I think that may be the silver lining to the dark cloud, at least.
Yeah. We're being forced to quickly rethink many long held ideas about how we use public services and interact with one another in our communities. It certainly underscored our shared belief that public transit is essential mm-hmm. to the economy and social fabric of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also caused us to pause and think differently when the very service that is essential to the lives of so many also potentially creates an environment for virus transmission as we congregate in like large numbers that use transit. So I guess we have to kind of look at the conflict and look at the new ways of thinking about the way we deliver and prioritize public transit.
Mm.
You know, so out at the end of the day, we need to do a full analysis of the way public transit is operated, planned, funded, and built. Because it's going to take time, slow recover time, it probably won't come back to previous levels. There might be even high employment still. So,
right.
There's a lot.
There is a lot. I think we hopefully have sorted out some stuff here. But it was good to talk to you again, Stephen. And thanks for joining me today.
No problem, Adam.
And once again, that was Steve Petrick from the Transit Action Alliance of Guelph. To learn more about TAG and its advocacy, you can go to taaguelph.com. And to keep up to date with the latest from Guelph Transit itself, you can go to guelphtransit.ca. Remember that transit is free in Guelph until July 1st, and presently only 10 people are allowed to get on the bus at a time. And that is it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The Guelph Politicast is recorded at CFRU, usually, at the University Center on the University of Guelph campus. And to learn more about CFRU, go to cfru.ca. You can download the Guelph Politicast on Wednesday from Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. You can also download it from the host Podbean at guelphpoliticast.podbean.com. And when you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you will get an episode of Open Sources Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson or at Guelph Politico. You can also check out Guelph Politico's Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in this city of Guelph, then please consider donating to Guelph Politico. And you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. For all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where there will be a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you next week. And until then, see you next time.